I'm here in our makeshift studio. I mean, it's like we're Joe Walsh. We took over the entire hotel room. We trashed it. Then we set it all up with, you know, this really cool studio. But guys, I'm doing interviews all day long with tons of different people. And guys, we're trying to get people to stand with us because we're taking in so many kids, and because evil is well-funded, you know what? This cause of King Jesus has to be well-funded as well. So be in prayer for me. Pray that all these things are successful. Hey, hear me say this, believers. This is a day for you and I to stand in Jesus and to pass the tests that are actually being handed to us today. Well, it's a wrap. Guys, we've been here all week long here in Washington, D.C., Capitol Hill, being the voice of these children that we're rescuing all over the planet Earth, fighting against human trafficking and speaking at the International Summit Against Human Trafficking. Guys, it's been so good. I can feel your prayers. Thank you so much. Now, my team has already left and they are headed to Mexico City. Why? Because we just rescued four more kids since the time that we actually put our foot down here on the ground in Washington, D.C. Guys, we're gonna continue to be the hands and feet of King Jesus for all of these kids, but I can't do it all by myself. You know, guys, this effort is so much bigger than any one ministry, and that's why I'm asking you, would you please support us? Would you please call 877-413-0888? All my teams are standing by to receive your phone calls and to receive your very best giving that you can possibly give, or you can always go to odx.tv. Together, you and I can stop human trafficking. So,
come on. come on. Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer here coming at you strong from the studios, the podcast studios here at Open Door Church. And guys, do I have a show for you today? And do I have some amazing testimonies to give you today? What you just saw was the end of the day clip for day four of last week when I was in Washington, D.C., and that was the day of the big Palestinian protests. Oh, my goodness. You know what? Somebody flushed a cosmic toilet, and out comes 10,000 of the very worst human beings I've ever seen in my life, destroying, bringing mayhem, bringing a spirit of chaos. But know this, Jesus was alive and well, and I got some cool testimonies to tell you once we go behind the veil. Now, if you joined me behind the veil yesterday, we talked about it a whole lot, and it was crazy cool, and we had so many people there yesterday. And then yesterday, also in the afternoon, at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, I had a special just for our third stage partners, and I was out at Third Stage Ranch in Glen Rose, Texas, and we talked about angels, demons, and Nephilim. And friends, we talked for an hour and a half, and I've never seen so many questions. I've never seen such great interaction. And if you missed it, if you're a Third Stage viewer, my friends, you can actually go there and you can watch it. It's all been uploaded to odx.tv. Also, every single day that all of our recaps from our Washington, D.C. visit, when I got to speak to Congress and got to lift up the name of Jesus and speak for kids that nobody in the world will speak about or speak to. And also, too, be in a room full of people who get up and they're all about the cause, but they can't tell you a single kid that they've ever rescued. They can't tell you anything they're doing. And that's, guys, we're trying to change all that. There's a lot of people that like the idea of rescuing children out of sexual slavery, but the actual practical application of it is really hard. And so we're there to encourage other like-hearted, like-minded people. Yeah, man, get in the fight and actually do this. You rescue kids differently from community to community to community, and you raise them differently as well, according to whatever that is. And I've got a special guest here today that's going to help me talk about that. But before I introduce my special guest to you, please don't forget to like this, smash all the buttons, ring all the bells, do all the things. Let us know where you're watching from. I know that, Ben, you know that there's a ton of people here today. I see Robin Day is here, and she's out in Arizona. Who else is here today?
We have Nancy on here. Pablo is back in the house.
Where's Pablo from?
Argentina.
Argentina. Yeah, he is from Argentina.
We got Sarah Spencer in here. We have Rebecca Marie is in here. She's actually at the airport right now.
What's she doing up at the airport? Where are you headed, Rebecca?
She's heading out.
What are you running from? She's running from the law.
She's running from you.
So who else and where are they from?
We have Texas in the house. We have Africa in the house. So George was on here a minute ago. We have
Uganda.
We have
Sally from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania is here. I can see that. Right on. Also, directly across from you is a lovely and gracious Miss Connie. How are you doing, Ladybug?
I'm doing good. Hey, everybody.
I saw you on there last night.
I was trying to sneak in.
Yeah, you were lurking on there.
Yes.
And I said it a whole bunch of different times. I was like, man, I wish Connie would, not that I was trying to get you to go to work last night. It was just that, you know, you're just so daggum smart. And on this subject, angels, demons, and Nephilim, you and I, number one, I think you've been going to church with me here.
10 years now.
Has it really been 10 years?
Yeah, 2 weeks after y'all moved to the Burleson campus is when I started going to Open Door.
We've had a lot of conversations over the past 10 years. Yes. I mean, a lot. And this whole unveiling of angels, demons, and Nephilim, and it's always been in the Bible. It's certainly always been a revelation that the people who wrote the Bible very much understood it. But it's very recent to Western Christianity. And in these last days, we have to know what this agenda is. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's going on everywhere around us. And you're quite the expert on it.
Oh, well, thank you. I just like research. And so it's a really big part of research. But what's really exciting to me is that with this subject, you see biblically that when this begins to become unveiled, that means that you're the last days in
generation.
Yeah, like right. Daniel writes about it. And then it's mentioned in extra biblical books like Enoch, yep. where it's like, hey, this is sealed up until the generation that needs to be aware of this.
Well, this is the day.
The earth. Yeah.
The scrolls are being opened, little
Amen.
Girl, and we all got a front row seat for the goodness of God in these last days. Because, friends, we are empowered. We're empowered to know. We're empowered to stand. We're empowered to push back. And we're empowered to look at the gates of hell and say, let me tell you something. You will not prevail. And the gates of hell, of course, was at Mount Hermon, Caesarea Philippi. That is ground zero for where the Nephilim whole thing, Genesis 6, actually happened, was actually Mount Hermon. I've actually been on Mount Hermon and got up as high as you could. I've been on it on the Israeli side. I've also been on it on the Syrian side. Got up as high as I could get until you get up next to, there is a UN complex up there at the top of Mount Hermon.
Yep.
Yeah, the Bulls of Bashan, right on. So the Bulls, and that whole region is called Bashan. And
which means place of the serpent.
The place of the serpent. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. That's literally where Jesus took his disciples and said, let's pick a fight.
Right. Jesus was not afraid of a fight.
No, not at all. And he was not nice about it at all. And then it says, and he was taken up into a high place, and there he transformed. There in that high place, a lot of people traditionally think it's a little mountain, some other place, but I believe it was that very mountain that he literally was taken to the top of Mount Hermon and was made manifest that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the baddest motor scooter that's ever lived. And he did that in their face the same way that he did whenever he went to hell, and he made open show of the fallen demons that are wrapped up in hell. And there's different levels and different kinds, you know, kingdom, right?
Right.
Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species of all different things within the angelic realm. And those ones that are actually in hell, they actually believe in a such thing as a jailbreak. They
yes,
believe
sir.
It. They believe mm-hmm. in it 10,000%. CERN believes in it, right? Mm-hmm. CERN believes in it. The witch at Endor believed in it. She called them up, right?
Right.
And they actually believe in the power of a jailbreak. And it's not that they can rebel against God and break out. It means that they can legally break out if they have enough useful idiots on
yes.
the planet Earth that will worship them, that will commit child sacrifice, that will drink blood, that will do this. And if they have enough, if they have a long enough line of a blood of iniquity, mm-hmm. they know that legally they have a right for that. Like, well, I don't think so. No, you can know that because in the book of Revelation, they are literally let out during
right. The pit is open.
The pit is open and unleashed upon the planet. And that happens in the book of, that is actually a biblical event. So they thought they were about to bust out whenever Jesus landed. And I love this. And Fanchon, I'm so going to mention, I'm so about to introduce you, and I want to start talking to you right
this
now.
This is so good.
I know, it's going to be ridiculous. And so, but whenever Jesus said, okay, Father, I commend my hands into your spirit, let's do this. Boom, he was gone. He left. He descended into hell.
Mm-hmm.
He touched foot into hell, and they were like, we got you. And he's like, actually, see, there's going to be a jailbreak, but it ain't y'all.
because in 3 days, my father's going to rise me up and I'm taking all these captives with me.
So good.
There is a jailbreak coming, but it's not what you think. I'm taking these in this place called Abraham's Bosom, which was a holding place for people of faith until the Messiah showed up. And then he ascended to the Father and he took them with him. Okay, so there is, and he had a legal right to do that. He did that legally.
And it was so, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But there was a point last night in the exclusive, so if you've missed it, please go back and watch it because it's so good. You talked about, it was amazing. But you talked about, you touched on how these families build these bloodlines of iniquity and how there are people that were bred into these Nephilim bloodlines, but they come to the knowledge of King Jesus.
Yes.
And he redeems them.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important that the blood of Jesus is the blood of a pure human being, because that's what he redeemed. And it's powerful enough to redeem those things that are corrupt.
Every single one of us in this room, as godly as we are, and as much as we fear the King, we love King Jesus, we come from an ancestral line that was not godly.
Right.
And people that worshiped other gods, that committed atrocities, you know, I mean, we fight slavery. I guarantee you, I have slave owners within my bloodline. I guarantee you, no matter what race you are, you have slave owners in your bloodline. And so without the blood of Jesus, we don't have any right to claim a righteous place. But with the blood of Jesus and from the blood of Jesus and seated in Christ in heavenly places, oh my goodness, legally, the devil has nothing to say to us. We have everything to say to say to them. Okay, I'm going off here and I want to talk about so much stuff. And man, we got good stuff going on here. Friends, I have to tell you this. There's been a number of rescues that happened today. And there's a large number that I can't tell you about yet. I want to so bad, but they're in a sketchy place and everything is not finished. And we don't want to draw a ton of attention to these children, the majority of them being 12-year-old children that we have busted from a pedophile ring and a trafficking ring today. I'll tell you about all that later and I'll give you the number later on, but be in prayer. Just please be in prayer about it. I can tell you about the 6 kids that we rescued in Acuna. And Acuna is a border town right on the other side of McAllen, Texas. Been there many, many, many times. And guys, we rescued 6 kids and they are actually in our home. They are in our home today. We just made another tremendous, great breakthrough in that, okay, we just took over the financial responsibility of a boys' home. And why that is so important is because this is the only boys' home that we can find in the entire nation of Mexico that is in compliance with the federal government to receive trafficked boys. So we have been personally involved in this home for a long time. Now we have been very strategically involved. And we got in it and we said, you know what? We want to move these kids into a better house. We found a house last night that can hold up to 10 kids and still be in compliance. It's in Mexico City. And they wanted $9,000 a month rent for it. And they came all the way down into the 5,000s for us. And guys, we got it last night. We're in the process of getting into compliance. We're going to move our 4 boys. And then that's going to give us 6 more beds. And then as soon as we do that, the good guys that we fund among the federales, they are going to bust some other rings. We're going to get some boys, and then we're going to do that. And once we get the number of kids we've already rescued that I cannot mention, and we get some other kids that are coming in, every single house that we have will be to the fullest of capacity. And that's going to happen within the next couple of months. And then, guys, we're going to have to build some more houses, and we're going to have to hire some more teams. And every single house that we do is $500,000 to set it up and $500,000 a year to operate. And we have a bunch of them. So this is your chance to get into the fight. This is your chance to actually stand with Jesus and to stand with a child and say, no, this is the job and the role of the body of Christ and redeem people is to set other people free and to raise them in safety and also within the admonition of the Lord. So that's taking place. Call the number. Call 877-413-0888 and help. Guys, help. I'm saying yes to everything. I'm saying yes, 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 yes. And we, like so many of y'all, guys, we're living paycheck to paycheck. And but guys, we're saying yes. We're saying yes to all this because this is our calling. And if we know what we ought to do, and if we do not do it, it is sin unto us, James 4:7. And I'm not going to do that. Well, I'm just going to go straight to our guest.
Okay.
Is that okay? I know that you guys got a lot of things to do and say, but man.
No, they're just talking about how the CIA was part of the JFK assassination.
Okay, assassination. Whenever we go behind the veil, and because we have an investigative reporter here, a pro investigative reporter, and I'm about to introduce her to you. When we go behind the veil, we are going to talk about nefarious things in the foster care system. We're going to talk about other special investigations that you have been a part of, that this lady has been a part of. I'm going to tell you things that we have uncovered. Again, the whole reason why I came out with this prophetic teaching on angels, demons, and Nephilim, the whole reason I did that is because it goes with the teaching series. And the reason why I even got into this is because we started rescuing little girls and little boys all over the planet who were a part of this ritual abuse that was so real. And like, why... what is all that? And then we started looking into it. And I mean, it was the same thing. It was the same thing in one part of Mexico as it was in Guatemala, or as it was in Belize, or as it was in Colombia or in Peru. And then when we started rescuing all these African kids, it was the same exact rituals and the same exact things that we were seeing on the other side of the planet Earth. And we're like, okay, I think it's time for us to jump all the way in, and however, wherever this rabbit trail goes, we're going to be willing to go there, and we're taking Jesus with us. Friends, joining me today is a friend of mine, someone that I have great respect for. I just kind of melt when I'm around her. I see her in church all the time, and I'm always like, oh my gosh, Fanshawe is in the house, because I'm a PBR guy. I love PBR, and this lady for years was hooked up with that. I used to see her on the Cowboy Channel and see her at rodeo stuff and see her on all kinds of stuff. I've actually been in the room with her several times before she ever came to this church, and she doesn't even know that. And I saw her, and the first time I saw her, I thought, I know this lady. Who is this? And then when I found out, I said, what's your name? And she said, Fanshawe, like mansion. And I went, I know who this chick is. And now she's a big part of Open Door Church. Guys, she is a 15-time Emmy winner. 15 times. Can you believe that, Connie?
No, that is mind
blowing. I didn't know that until I saw it. I'm like, hey, man, did you really? So I'm just going to ask her. Guys, this is my very good friend, Fanshawe. And I think your last name's Stinger. Is that
Stinger,
correct? Yep, that's what I thought. So Fanshawe Stinger, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so incredibly honored to be sitting around the table with you. And this is... totally God's. I'm almost speechless, Pastor Troy, because the reason I'm sitting here is only because of the Lord.
It is.
And I think I told you the story. He literally picked me up, encouraged me, told me, directed me to move to Texas, had no idea why. I thought I was going to be going to another church. I had plans to go to another church when I came here. A friend of mine sent me one of your sermons. It was on the transhuman agenda.
Really?
And I will never forget listening to that sermon. I said, Where are these pastors? Why isn't no one teaching this? And I was like, this guy gets it. Like, he's teaching the word, the truth. He's raising up an army of believers. We need this. And then another friend, and I started sending it to all my friends, to all my prayer group friends. And then someone called me and said, Fanshawe, because I had just moved to Texas that weekend, this church is 15 minutes from you. I said, what? And so we came to church that Sunday. Todd White was the guest speaker. I had been listening to him during COVID. I had been praying, Lord, I'd like to go see. I thought I was going to have to go to California to see him.
Yeah.
Well, he was here.
He's
and
here.
So then you started talking about the ministry of rescuing children. And the Lord has been taking me deep into this world to expose it, to give me this understanding. I had no idea why. That right then and there, I knew this is the church I'm supposed to be. I never made it to the other church. Didn't even make it to the parking lot of the other church. But since then, I've been sitting under your teaching and your guidance and your teaching. And I know that God has me here. I know that this is why he has me. He's revealing it more and more, even with your sermon this past Sunday. He's revealing more of why I need to be learning under your leadership and your stewardship because of what he's called me to do. I don't understand it all, but so I'm just humbled. And I'm just thanking the Lord for putting me here. But I just want people listening to know that in every detail of our life, we have to be willing to say yes to the Lord, even when we don't understand it. Because if not for so many yeses that I did not understand, I would not be sitting here talking to you today. So all praises goes to the Lord.
The yes is a big deal.
It's a huge
deal. The yes is a big deal. Having a yes in your spirit is huge. And also, too, being willing to step into it before you understand it is everything to King Jesus. You know, so whenever I love what we were talking yesterday, and I was also speaking last night about Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14, and then Caleb saying, you know, hey, look, no, we can take this. Let's immediately rise up. Joshua said that, and he said this. Let me tell you about these giants. They are bread to us, meaning this. There is provision for us in taking that on, even though we don't know how.
Amen.
There's tremendous provision that is actually within it, and you're living proof of that.
Well, the Lord is showing me that more and more. And the more he shows you, the more exciting it gets, and the more you love him, and the more you want to honor him, and the more you just want to fight and be a warrior for him.
All the promises of God are yes and amen. Little sister, the promises of God Amazing. Are yes and amen.
Yes.
And so that's how that works. All right, so... Yes. You've been an investigative journalist. Let's just talk about your career for just a second.
Okay,
and,
absolutely.
And because I know that you work for Dr. Phil now.
I do.
Which is such a wow.
It's an incredible calling, and it's actually connected to my career. The Lord ignited a passion for telling people stories, and I always viewed my career as a ministry. He ignited it in my heart when I was 15, and that was another yes I had to say, because I was a very shy girl, low self-confidence. I went to, you know, Christian school, so I always knew, well, God created you for something, but I just didn't believe I could do anything because I didn't have that natural assertiveness. And when I was 15, I had to do an assignment on what your career was going to be. I thought medicine, I thought law, but I was reading a book one day and it said, telling people stories have a positive impact in the community and ability and an opportunity to travel. Those are the three things that ignited these.
Yeah.
It was that I didn't know at the time that God was igniting all that he put in me, but he was. And from there, I set out on a track. I wrote to one of the top news anchors in my city. It was in Detroit, Michigan. He called me in, asked me to spend a day with him. He happened to be a Christian. And he sat me down and he talked to me about, he said, I understand you're a Christian young lady. You have Christian values. He said, in this business, do never compromise your values or your principles for anyone or anything.
Praise God.
I did not realize how important those words were at 15. So I asked him, I said, well, if I'm going to be successful at this, what do I need to do? And from that moment on, my goal became overcoming being afraid to talk to people. I joined the school yearbook. I was still in high school. I joined, I ran for the Human Relations Council. I did all of these things to take myself out of my comfort zone. And then when I got to college, it continued. So academically, college was very easy for me. So I spent my extra time working, running for the vice president of my dorm, all the things that terrified me. I made it my mission to overcome it. And that's how I started preparing for my career. And then God's opened doors all along the way. And I just was willing to step into those things that to me seemed so big. And what he was doing in that process is he was igniting the passion in me and making the passion bigger than my fear. It wasn't until into my first job, maybe almost a year in, that I was standing in the grocery store one day and this lady came up to me and she said, oh, you're the young lady I see on TV. And it wasn't until that moment that I realized, oh my gosh, people are looking at me like that would have terrified me before, but the Lord had gotten me to a place where the passion for representing him and telling people stories and using the media for good, that was the way I went into my career. Once that passion got so big, the fear didn't matter. So God is so funny sometimes. He's like, okay, now I'm going to tell you what you really are going to be, being in a public platform and, you know, giving up that privacy. That's a big deal, you know, especially if you're introverted and you don't really aren't comfortable in those settings. But being in the media, I've always been asked, well, what do you like about media? What is media to you? What's the role? And I always say, in the right hands, with the right heart and the right motivation, like what you're doing, the media is the most powerful force for good. Because as we know, that's why people want to manipulate it so bad. That's why you have propaganda media used by governments, because it trains people how to think. It infiltrates your mind. It infiltrates the heart. And it can change things. So the media in the wrong hands, with the wrong motivation and the wrong hearts and with dishonesty, can be the most destructive force.
Yeah, I was just mentioning in Numbers chapter 13. When the spies came back after being gone for 40 days, there was 10 that gave a bad report and had a different narrative. And it changed the hearts and the minds of 1.5 million people. And they decided to stone Moses and Aaron and go back and serve the gods of Egypt.
Yeah.
And it was reporters that did that. Mm-hmm. It was 10 reporters. Mm-hmm. Okay. There was 2 reporters that were saying, no, man, we're more than able. We can do this. But the other 10 their voice was so convincing that the Bible says that they wept all night long. Yeah. All the people wept all night. And that was their shining moment, man. Yeah. That was their finest hour. But all that comes from the power of media and the power of a bad report versus a good report.
Versus a good report. And the Lord showed me the power of media. I had all of those Emmys that you mentioned. Those all represent the power of God to work in someone's life who... those people trusted me to tell their stories.
What do you do with 15 Emmys? Do you like build a house around it? No. What do you do? Do you mount one on the front of your car? Because I think I would if I had that many. I'd put one on the front of my truck and let everybody know that I've won an Emmy. I mean, what do you do with all those?
Well, they're in my home and they're in a bookshelf. But really, looking at those, I don't really look at them that often. But it's a reminder to me the power of God. And it's a reminder of me, the power of him to transform, because he had to transform me first to be able to use me the way that he did. And it reminds me of the power of being willing to step into life with people, even though it's hard or it can be messy, or maybe it's even at a triumphant time. But a lot of times we are going to be the only experience that people have in terms of the love of Jesus, the hand of Jesus. There are so many people I've done stories with I still talk to. There are parents who've lost children. People don't usually see what happens after the cameras turn off. But a lot of families go through a lot, especially when there's a loss of life or there's a traumatic situation that happens. And for us, as people who have the ability to have a voice, to stop and tell them, hey, God's with you. I was at Ground Zero for a week after the towers fell. Wow. And I was there when family members were coming up to me and showing me pictures and asking me, can you please help me find my son? I'll never forget this father. His name was Dennis. And he was shaking. He was getting ready to have a breakdown. And I was standing there, and he had his son's picture, and he was trembling. And the only thing I could do was put my microphone down and hug him and say, God will never leave you comfortless. He is going to get you through this. Because I had been in there. I knew no one was coming out. But that experience, I was in my 20s at that time. And a lot of people wondered, why are they sending this young little girl down to this place? We didn't know if this was going to be a series of terrorist attacks. We had no idea when we got on the ground. But when I got there, I was this young reporter. I knew I had to like prove myself, and I had this mindset. I was stressed out. I was nervous. But putting me in a situation like that, God allowed the emotion of what I was going to see and experience for those 2 weeks to break me of that and teach me how to tell stories from my heart, from the empathy, from the love of Jesus, and from the idea of being a missionary wherever he sent me, if that makes sense. So what happened during those 2 weeks is I broke down on the air, telling people the stories of what I saw, turning and seeing what the power of hate can do and explaining it from that standpoint. It transformed the way I did my job. And that was a monumental shift for me. And that kind of set me up to be able to look at things much more deeply and for the Lord to put me in places that I probably never would have been or been able to experience. So it's all been a huge blessing, and it's prepared me for what he's created me to do.
Okay. Well, friends, if you're just now joining us, y'all need to know that I'm having an interview with my very good friend, Miss Manchin. Miss Fanchon. Yeah, it rhymes with Manchin.
That always helps people.
Yeah, it does. Fanchon Stinger, she's actually with us here today. Incredible reporter. She now does the morning show for Dr. Phil and for that network she works for. We'll talk about all that here in just a minute. And if you're just now joining us, guys, we've been telling everybody that I can announce for sure that we rescued 6 kids today.
Praise God.
And they're actually in our homes, and we're working on the rescues of a whole bunch of others, and I'll give you more details of that as things unfold in the future. And guys, we also acquired a boys' home, a new boys' home, to move our 4 boys in. 2 boys that we rescued last week, and I think we actually have a picture of them. Do we have a picture?
Of the 2 rescues?
Yeah. Do we have a picture of those two boys? That's the day that we got them. Right then. And then this is them a couple of days later, whenever we were all hanging out with them. And now, guys, they're talking about their futures. They're talking about their dreaming. One of them is saying, I want to be a truck driver. I mean, the brother is experiencing freedom for the first time in his life. These 2 boys have literally been slaves, true slaves. And now they're set free in every way that young men can be set free. And I'm going to be down there here in a couple of weeks. Ms. Fanchon, aren't you jealous?
I am. I just want to hug them and tell them how much we all love them.
That's my job.
Well, you go do and that because that's amazing.
Job. I've got an incredible job. And I literally do that all over the world and just go and just get to be a daddy to all these kids.
Well, you're restoring their ability to dream.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so very important because without a vision, what the Bible tells us, we perish.
Yep.
And so to be able to restore that in the hearts and minds of these young children, it's beautiful.
Well, it's going on. We've rescued more than 11,000 kids. Yeah. We have over 4,000 kids under our care. I mean, in the past, the number is going to be around like over the past month, how many kids have we rescued? It's going to be somewhere around 40. We're approaching 40 kids now just in a month. And all the kids that we rescued today is huge. And every single time we take them on, we take on $1,200 a month.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Amen.
I mean, just you guys just start thinking about the numbers on that. I mean, it's huge. Yeah. And so, but the power of partnership is this. You are actually a part of this fight with us, and you also do your own thing. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. And you're a part of this here today. And I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to everybody that stands with us and everybody that's a great big part of this.
I want to say thank you for being a voice for these children, because you would be amazed, and you probably know this, but a lot of people listening may not know that there are so many people who do not understand that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
They do not understand that it's happening in our schools. It's happening all over the world. It's happening in our neighborhoods, and people are shocked. And I think sometimes people don't want to know because it's so dark. It's so evil. But there has to be a group of brave people to stand up and say no. And Pastor Troy, you're doing that, and you're giving people the courage to also do that. If not us, then who? If not you, if not Open Door Congregation, then who? Because there's so many people who either don't know or they're turning their heads to it and not doing anything. And these children, we are their only hope.
Do you know that during American slavery, only 1.4% of Americans owned slaves? Everybody else looked the other way. 1.4% of Americans have ever owned a slave. But it existed for hundreds of years here because everybody's like, well, that's just the way the world turns and it really doesn't affect me. I mean, I'm as poor as those slaves are, so why would I care? Yeah. And yada, 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 yada. I mean, it was godly people that overcame slavery in the United States of America. It was godly people that overcame it in every single corner of the earth.
Yes.
It was the church that rose up, and it was the voice of Jesus and the words of Jesus that caused people to rise up and to be true abolitionists. The main reason that I think that the huge, I think it's very much like that. Probably 1.4% of Americans today are actually doing anything about it.
It could be less.
And what's real is the reason why is because everybody is addicted to porno.
That's exactly
why. It's pornography.
I don't know that people know that you put all of the major sports together and you think about how much money those major sports are. Pornography is more than that.
Exactly.
And we are the number one purveyor of the commercialization of sex.
Yes.
Around the world.
Absolutely true.
It originates from the United States.
It sure does.
And pornography is the beginning of it.
Over 65% of all child pornography is made in Mexico because the market is in the United States.
The demand, supply and demand.
That's exactly right. And so it's like, we have to do something about this.
Absolutely.
And we have to admit it. And we have to be able to address sexuality without pornography being involved in it.
Absolutely.
In any way whatsoever.
Well, one of the, this is a statistic. I don't have the updated numbers, but I do know that the fastest growing demographic for addictions to pornography is boys 9 to 12. And a lot of parents do not even realize that their young boys, and now girls are included in that as well, that they're even looking at it. They think, oh, my son won't do it. Oh, but they're not understanding the way it's being infiltrated into gaming, into advertisement.
Yes.
Just in the way we look at sports, the way we look at women, it's very subtle. And once you see it, and once you understand how intentional this is, how these organizations and these gaming companies and the entertainment, how they're all working together, then you start to understand that this is not by accident.
That's right. It is so well organized.
It is. And funded, well funded,
sister. Well funded. No, I okay. So, So you have an organization, yes, and you have an incredible ministry that's called Grit and Grace.
Yes,
number one, I love the name.
Thank you.
That's thank you.
So
what do you guys do? Tell us about that.
We exist to equip our young ladies, middle school through college, with courage. And I picked that word courage for my mission statement because it's a biblical word. We need courage. Mm-hmm. And so we equip our young ladies with courage and the tools they need to excel in life, interpersonally, and in leadership, while doing all of that while honoring faith, family, and freedom, our country, and what this country means and what it stands for. So as you know right now, the number one issue that every family just about in America is dealing with is anxiety with our young people.
Mm-hmm.
Comparison, low self-esteem, depression, suicide, suicidal thoughts. Well, we know that if we can come alongside our young ladies, we have a behavioral assessment that is scientifically based, and we can measure the girls where they are. This behavioral assessment, it's not a personality test. Those have their place, but this is an actual behavioral assessment that the girls take, and we can measure what's in their head and what's in their hearts. So we can see what's motivating them to make the decisions they're making, what's motivating them to pick the friends, to pick the boyfriends, to actually look at life the way they look at it. So we focus on the 22 most critical attributes of leadership. And this behavioral assessment was founded on an assessment that's been used for about 25, almost 30 years by the top Fortune 500 companies. They use it for their highest level management. Well, the founder of the assessment wrote one specifically for Grit and Grace and the values that we have. So we are looking at the girls when it comes to self-awareness, managing emotions, managing stress, resiliency. I think Steve Jobs was one of the first people to say before he died that the number one indicator of success is grit. Your level of grit, your perseverance, mm-hmm, your ability to be knocked down, to maybe be disappointed, but to get back up and not even entertain the thought of giving up or giving in or quitting. So we want to take our young ladies and help measure them where they are, mentor them through those 22 most critical attributes, and then move them so that they can operate at the optimal levels of that with the undergirding of knowing who I am and whose I am. So we start with, what is your identity in Christ? Who does God say you are? Then we move into managing your emotions and your self-awareness, because once you understand who you are and how God made you, now you may wake up in the morning and you may have a bad day. Your emotions are telling you, okay, I'm feeling down today. But what is the difference between feeling and truth? Once you know who you are, now we can explain to you, okay, well, truth does not change. And God says you are fearfully and beautifully and wonderfully made. He says we are all created equal. He says I can do all things through Christ. So now when you bring a conversation up and someone's telling you, well, because of how you look, you can't make it. Because of how you look, you're an oppressor. Because of how you look, you're a victim. Now they know how to respond with, well, no, that's not what God says about me. The truth doesn't change. I am made, we are all created equal. And God says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what does that mean? Conversation's over. Let's move on to setting our goals.
Let's go.
And so we work on all of those things with our young ladies. And then we have an online leadership academy. So we meet with girls. We bring them in from all across the country. We're online. I teach it with some of our trained coaches that teach it as well. And then we are now expanding into chapters. So in our chapters, we talk about etiquette. How to be excited to be modest. You know, what does it look like to sit at the table? The proper way to get in and out of a car, the proper way to sit.
Way to go.
Engaging. So we work with them on communication skills and we do career preparation. So we have partnerships and relationships with companies, because now what we're finding is that most companies, as you probably know, you've talked to a lot of business people, they can't find young people who understand being a team player, mm-hmm, who can step into a boardroom and hold their own, be resilient, be respectful, communicate well, communicate effectively. So we are filling that pipeline so that now we can get, you know, in communication with a lot of these companies and provide internships for our girls in high school and our girls in college. So we follow them through college. So what we're seeing is that our girls are choosing their friends differently. Our young ladies who are able to date, they're choosing their boyfriends differently. And they will now parent differently.
That's correct.
Because of the foundation and all based on biblical truth. If we can raise up a generation of young women who understand that, now we have young women who have the courage to say, no, that is wrong. I'm not going to do that. And from my own personal experience, the Lord had to bring me along that journey. He had to give me that boldness. I didn't have that in my 20s. I started making some mistakes early when I was young, and God had to use that to train me, to correct me. He had to take me through the valleys and show me the power of transformation and the power of getting that boldness. I want every young girl to understand. And we tell our girls, they repeat it to us. Whatever happens to you is meant to what? And they'll say, you know, they'll say, Fanchen, it's meant to make me, not break me. That's right. Whatever happens to you in life, it's meant to make you not. It doesn't matter if you come from the most affluent neighborhood, middle class, underserved, whatever it is, we're all going to go through things. But we want our girls to know how to respond. And that's through grit. And once you experience God's grace, now you can extend
that's awesome.
That grace. And everyone says, well, what does PBR bull riding have to do with grit and grace? Well, it's very, this is the most exciting part because we have a scholarship opportunity. We give $10,000 scholarships to girls in middle school and high school. I think you met our winners when we brought them to church.
Yeah, you actually brought them to church.
Yeah, we give out those scholarships at PBR World Finals.
Wow.
I've been a PBR bull riding fan since I was in high school. And everyone thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. Because I grew up in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's not a lot of bull riding going on right. in Michigan. Yeah. So when I would explain this crazy sport to people, like, what do you mean bull riding? Rodeo? I said, no, it's bull riding. It's PBR. It's a separate, you know, sports league. And when I got to a point in my life when I was down and the enemy could have taken me out and destroyed my faith, destroyed my platform, I went through some abusive relationships. I went through some really, really difficult things. I remember being on the floor one day in a ball, sobbing, not knowing what to do. And I could have turned to anger. I could have turned to bitterness. I could have lost hope. But I remember praying a prayer. And I said, God, if you will help me fight, I will fight. And it wasn't until many years later, that was in 2006 or seven. It wasn't until 2019 and going into 21, the Lord showed me, Fanchen, it was all those years watching that powerful visual of bull riding that was planting seeds of mm-hmm. courage in you so that when you needed that to pull, reach deep down and grab onto Jesus' hand and say, Lord, if you help me, I will fight and step up and stand up and come up as a warrior. Like, I didn't know what I was going to do, but God then started moving. He started placing the right people around me. He started helping me. He started giving me wisdom and discernment. And that has been a journey that has happened ever since then. And we have partnered with the PBR. So I met a lot of the PBR leadership in 2009. And I came up with a dream. I wanted to own bulls because I can't ride a bull, but I can invest in a bull.
Yep.
And I can be part of my favorite sport that way. I had no idea, Pastor Troy, that God was using my love of a sport that would one day later be an integral part of my nonprofit and my ministry. Because now through our scholarship program, we take the girls to PBR.
Awesome.
When they become semifinalists, we pick the top 10 winners in any state that we're in, and we take them to PBR. They get to meet the bull riders. They get to meet the bulls. And when we talk about that visual, it's a metaphor for life.
Sure is.
You're going to get bucked off.
Yes, ma'am.
You don't know how you're going to land. You might have, your heart's going to get broken. You're going to get disappointed. You're not going to make the team. All these things are going to happen. But what do those bull riders always do? And Pastor Troy, you know, no matter how hurt they are, they do what? They fight to get back up.
Every time.
And so we talk to them about that visual. When they're holding on to that bull rope, they're holding on with one hand, the other hand's in the air. They can't touch themselves. They can't touch the bull. They can't touch the equipment. But they're holding on for dear life. That is how you hold on to Jesus' hand.
That's good. That's really
good. And you
good.
Ride. The minute you take your eye off of him, you're going to lose your balance. And so the minute they take their eye off that hump in the middle of the bull, they've got to stay in the center, right? That's how you ride a bull.
That's right.
But once you get knocked to the side or you take your eye off, you're not in sync. And you're going to get bucked off. So that's the visual. That's how bull riding connects with grit and grace. And once you see that, it's applicable to all of us.
Yep.
You know, and it depends on how you respond. So every young lady knows we respond with grit and we respond with grace.
Okay. So guys, I want to encourage everybody to go to, where do they go to find you at?
You can go to thegritandgracenation.org. We have a major conference coming up in September. We are bringing in former Miss Universe, Demi Tebow.
Wow.
Demi Tebow's wife is going to be with us here in Fort Worth, Texas. We are inviting every lady, young ladies, grab your moms. If you're an adult lady, grab your mom, aunt, grandmothers, and come and join us September 27th through the 29th. Okay. So Demi Tebow is going to be talking about her new book, The Crown That Lasts, breaking free from labels that the world tries to put on you and
awesome.
Stepping into who God created you to be.
I'm sending Leanna that, I guarantee.
Please
you.
Do. I want every young every lady, every mom, every sister, every grandmother, niece, aunt at Open Door Church, please join us. This is not just for Grit and Grace. This is open nationwide. We are stepping into an area where we know there is a vacuum. And we want those relationships we have as mothers, daughters, women's, aunt. I don't have children, but God has graced me with so many hundreds of young ladies around the country.
You got lots of kids.
Lots of kids that I get to love on and watch them grow. We had a 9-year-old girl who could not order her food off a menu. And she was so terrified. Her confidence was so low. She's been with us for 3 years. This past spring, she's spoken for the 900 people.
Wow.
And she, you know what she told me? Fanchon, I love speaking. I want to do something where I get to speak and represent people. So, if you want to, the invitation is out there. Please join us. Demi Tebow, I'm going to be teaching. We have an international Christian leadership trainer who's going to be there. She has businesses all over the world. Becca Shea, the recording artist, she's going to be with us as well. Wow. It's going to be 3 days. Sunday, we're going to end with worship. But if you go to gritandgraceretreat.com, you can sign up. We've got 100 VIP spots for you to meet Demi, get pictures with her, and then we have all the general registration until we sell out. So
that's outstanding. Okay. Well, hey.
Thank you.
So thank you so much. You know what? We're about to go behind the veil.
Let's go behind the veil.
And when we go behind the veil, we're going to talk about, we're going to talk more into the investigative reporter side of you. Okay.
Yeah.
And once we go into that, and guys, the reason why we do that is because we don't want to be censored. Now, you can find that at odx.tv. And if you're a stage 2 partner or if you're a stage 3 partner, guys, and if you're watching on ODX, just stay there. Just hang in there because, man, we're about to go behind the veil and the rest of this is just going to be exclusively for you. All right, Miss Connie, Mr. Ben, what else do we need to tell everybody before we go behind the veil?
George and Sharif are actually in the chat right now.
George and Sharif.
Go Sharif.
Which are two of my boys in Uganda, East Africa. I love you guys. Miss y'all. Call you guys blessed. I'm coming in September and I'm coming in hot. You guys be well prepared to take very good care of your Papa Troy. So be very well prepared. Who else is in there? So you have anything else you want to say?
Guys, don't forget, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. Hit that bell icon. That way you can be notified every time we go live. If you're on any of our socials, make sure to hit the follow button. There's also an icon on there too, a little bell icon that you can hit, and it'll let you know every time we make a post. Be sure and do all that. Also stay tuned on ODX for all of our content. We are uploading daily, just tons and tons and tons of stuff. As Pastor Troy's interviews come out and come live, we'll be putting them on ODX too. So be sure and stay tuned for all that.
Hey, I got to tell you, I don't know if you know this or not, but I rode bulls from the time I was a fourth grader all the way past high school. I was a bull rider.
I heard you say that during church one time. You know what I said?
What?
I am not surprised.
I was.
I
wasn't a very good one, but.
But hey, you got on. You
wrote. I mean, that's good.
That's a big deal, Pastor Troy.
Do you know what I learned, man, in being in so many shoots? And I mean, I went out to Electra, Texas one time when I was an 11th grader and went to go get my temporary card.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so the deal is, man, they put you on 5 bulls, and if you can get so many of them covered, they give you a temp card, and then you could enter the rodeo. Yeah. So I got on 5 bulls, and they were 5 PBR bulls.
Okay, yeah, that's no joke.
Okay, I couldn't even, we all slept in the backs of our trucks,
yes.
And I couldn't even put my pants on the next day. I was so sore.
You're so sore.
I was so beat up.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
literally could not get dressed.
It is something to see. Now, a lot of people don't know, bulls are bred to buck. You can't make a bull buck. They're not abused.
Yeah.
One of mine is named after me, Stinger. That's one of my baby boys. The other one's a little hot.
Wow.
And usually when they buck, I'm on the shoots with them. So I'm there because I believe that animals can feel, you know. So I'm like, mama's here. You're going to go out there tonight. You are a champion. You are going to buck your head. You know, you're going to buck to your heart is content. You're going to get. But then all the guys, I know all the guys, too. So I don't want them to get hurt.
Yeah,
you don't want the bulls to get hurt. You don't want the guys. It is something to watch. They're majestic.
They are
animal
majestic.
Athletes.
Yeah, they are.
And
they're
incredible. They are. And it's fun.
Well, I think that you guys have dang near ruined bull riding with these incredible genetics of all these bulls.
They're so good.
Can ride those things
they
now.
They barely can. But now the guys have to up their game.
Yeah. It's, my gosh.
I can't wait to take you to a PBR. I want you and Leanna to join me.
Please let me
at a PBR. The team season is amazing.
I would love that.
Okay, we're going to make it happen.
Okay, make that happen. But do you know something? And even to this day, I will still have dreams that I'm riding a bull.
Really?
Yeah. Even now, I'm 57 years old. I'm about to be 58. I will still dream that I'm young, that I'm strong enough and young enough and not fat enough that I'm no longer a fat guy and I can ride bulls. But I learned this. I remember over and over and over again, one of the life applications of bull riding for me that has been huge and been an every single day part of my life for anything I step into, any arena that is way bigger than me, is when I was a kid and I'd be thinking about bull riding all that week. Man, this Friday night, I'm going to be at Cowbell and we're going to be in Mansfield and we're going to be doing a thing. And man, everybody would come and everybody would be so excited. I would get in that chute and I couldn't remember what I was like. What am I doing? Like, why did I sign up for this?
Why am I doing this? Yeah.
And man, I would be, you know, getting my rope hot and I'd be like, what? Nobody else is in a chute with you.
That's in
a chute by yourself.
That's right.
And you're on top of this 2,000 pound beast.
That is correct.
And you're about to tell them to open that thing up. And then
And you had to be able to deal with that moment of, yes. I thought about it all week. I said I was going to do it. Everybody was all for me, but this, I'm the only guy in the shoot. Nobody else is in here.
Yes.
And that, the horror in that moment,
yes,
is unbelievable.
Well, yeah. A lot of people ask the bull riders, why are you guys so humble? Because they have so much humility. It's because every time you get on, you realize that your life is literally in the hands of God. Mm-hmm. It keeps you humble. And you have a heart of a warrior. Pastor Troy, you have the heart of a warrior. Look at what you're doing around the world. That's why bull riding speaks to you. Mm-hmm. And that's why you dream of yourself riding bulls, because you have to have the heart of a warrior in order to do that.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well,
I learned, and there, we can talk about it all day, things I learned from bull riding. So I tell you what, let's go behind the veil and let's talk to all of our friends exclusively at Stage 2 and Stage 3. I'm going to let everybody go across all of our social media platforms and say thank you so much, man, for standing with us. Thank you for your faithful and your continual support. Guys, we are rescuing so many kids. We are doing it. And we just rescued a whole bunch of kids again today. And your partnership matters. And don't forget that when you call that number and you decide to partner with us, don't forget to ask for the whole bundle here of the Angels, Demons, and Nephilim. And it also includes this really good study guide and DVD set, CD set. It's also got a thumb drive. And that'll be a great big blessing. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to me. I use it. And I used it last night whenever I was talking to all of our third stage viewers exclusively for a question and answer session that was an hour and a half long. Wow. Hey, Troy, is there any such thing? There's no such thing as female angels, right? Okay, we need to talk about that. Okay, there's no such thing as this, that, right? Okay, hey, are demons the disembodied spirits of Nephilim, and how does that work? Why are there some demons in hell? Why are there some demons roaming the earth? What is that all about? Dude, we went through the whole... We also talked about Nephilim host families. Mm-hmm. Right.
And that the there bloodlines literally of iniquity.
The bloodlines of iniquity. We talked about Nephilim host tribes, and that God said to commit harem on them, which is literally, I want them all wiped out. Why? Because their DNA was so contaminated, and for them to crossbreed with the Jewish people would literally stop the messianic bloodline. And we spent a lot of time talking about all that last night. So I encourage you guys that if you're a third stage viewer, to go back and watch that video. If you're not, you can always upgrade and you can see it. And guys, we're going to be doing plenty more of that. So guys, let's go behind the veil. And if you're on odx.tv, stay right where you are. And everybody else, I call you the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. And I hope to see you tonight as I'm preaching at Open Door Church. Bye-bye, everybody.